It's my first time here in Hope, so I'm very excited, but I'm also very nervous, so bear with me. Good, so welcome to the dystopian world. But first, let me tell you a little bit about me. My name is Laura, as I said. My pronouns are she and her, and I've had many roles in my life. I've been a behavioral economist, an organizational engineer, a researcher, a college professor, a hacker, of course. A system thinker, a UX designer, a co-founder, and also a huge nerd, obviously. What that means to you is that I'm the perfect person to be talking about dystopias and AI because I work at precisely the intersection between human behavior and technology. I'm also highly trained at seeing patterns and understanding complex systems. That includes identifying leverage points and changing systems outcomes, just like you guys. And also, I'm very passionate about learning and sharing information in an engaging and useful way. That said, I've also had literally decades of sci-fi knowledge to share, so here we go. right now, my role today is to be your guide for this session. So I'm taking you on a journey, but we have to start here and now. So where is here now? You already know this, but AI development is at an all-time high, and it's on the rise. So right now, all models are everywhere, like everywhere, literally everywhere. They've permeated all sorts of disciplines, topics, ranging from healthcare to education, to marketing, to transportation, entertainment, you keep going. And I don't need to tell you how useful they are. I think we've all used ChatGPT. So it's growing faster along with computational capabilities and resource allocation. For instance, according to the World Economic Forum, the top five economies, that is the US, China, Japan, India, and Germany, have already spent millions of dollars in the past 5 years on this technology. And in the next year, that number is going to be probably in the trillions. So that's just starting. More importantly, though, is that this impact is unprecedented. But alongside those promises come critical ethical, social, and regulatory challenges. So we must address those too. So this is where we are. We are at the age-old trade-off between the creative force of innovation and the desire for safety. So how do we achieve that balance? Well, Justin Trudeau just said, like, last month, this quote, like, the AI for good is going to be one of the most powerful tools we have to counter the AI for bad. So I think we all need to be part of those AI for good guys, if we can. So get ready. We're about to take off. Part of my job as your guide today is to warn you. So here are some disclaimers. This is not a technical talk. It is designed to be understood by a broad audience. That means the most amount of humans that I can reach. So all my sources will be at the end if you want to check those. Number two, I'll show you lots of examples, but this is a very complex topic and the categories I'm showing are all interconnected. I chose the ones I consider most representative, but there is bound to be some overlap and some repetition, and all distinctions at the end are just subjective. So make your own mind about it. This is in no way an exhaustive list. Imagining every possible scenario is literally impossible. So this is just a little taste. I mean, it's an appetizer, if you will. And we don't have all day long, so I just kept the descriptions very short. But by all means, you help me figure this out at the end if I'm missing something. I'm also gonna say a lot of things about AI, about what could go wrong, but I'm in no way against this technology. I love innovation and I'm actually very excited about AI. Just keep that in mind. Okay, so we're gonna start at the beginning, which is why this is not a utopia talk. That's because utopias just
demonstrate where everything goes right? Like everything is going according to plan. And I don't know about you guys, but that's not my experience in real life. Like that never happens. So I'm here to share my fears with you. And dystopias are the way to do that. So in my opinion, dystopias are cautionary tales at the end. The science fiction is just human creation of words that are not real, but could be. And it runs on the most powerful software we have access to, which is our own brains. So the magic spell and the command that is going to lead us today is going to be very simple. It starts with a what if, right? So what if this keeps going? What if that goes wrong? So my challenge to do right now is take some pen and paper, or take your cell phone, or take your laptop, and I'll time you. And you have 1 minute to write down, and please do write them down, as many what ifs as you can. Like in the next minute, what is the future that you can think of AI going wrong, obviously. So I'll time you, and let's see if you can do your homework. Go. I know this is weird. I know. I told you I was a teacher, so it's on you. And even if you're just live streaming it, do this exercise too, because it's very engaging. Okay, we're 30 seconds in. Keep writing. You're doing great. I know it's a little bit early and the coffee is not kicking in just yet, but keep going. 15 seconds. Okay, time's up. Good. So I hope you did your homework. Let's see if I can match it. Pack some snacks, keep your arms and legs inside the vehicle at all times, and let's go. So we'll start with the easy one, obvious almost. What if the energy demands of AI accelerate the depletion of natural resources, leading to scarcity, and environmental resources just are gone? What if that happens? What if pollution and electronic waste can cause harm to ecosystems and public health? This is what happens in the movie WALL-E, where the planet is covered in mountains of trash. And as a result, this happens because of overconsumption and poor management, and so we cannot live in this world anymore. So we live somewhere else. So that's our first dystopia, WALL-E. I know you didn't expect that, huh? So what if this keeps going and the planet Earth is no longer habitable for humans? And that's sort of what happened in The Matrix. I know you guys watched that. So this is, in this future, humans and machines started a war that ended up with us humans using nuclear weapons, scorching the sky and blocking the energy from the sun. So the machines got very smart and they decided to use humans as a power source. So at the end of the day, we didn't exactly win. We didn't exactly lose either. I'm not going to spoil the rest of the Matrix movies, but there you go. Those are the first two. Who got those? See, I told you. Some of you got it. Perfect. And at the end of the day, we can even end up leaving the planet and going somewhere else. This is actually a very compelling way to start one of the many movies that we're going to see. So let's go. We're going to take it up a notch now. Maybe you focused on something different. What if people can no longer compete with machines for the same job and they end up replacing us, you know, like automation and stuff like that? How would we survive, humans, without an income? Well, one option is shown in the series Black Mirror. season 1, episode 2. It's called 15 Million Merits. And here, most humans have been confined to a life of monotonous cycling to generate merits. That's the currency in this society. Because AI and machines have replaced traditional human labor. So maybe we'll have to like entertain other people or even machines to be able to survive. Ain't that scary? Well, another future is one where we stop hiring people who have no experience in any particular job, because AI does a better job at that, at least in the beginning, right? And then those people who never got the first job never became like the experts because they don't have the skills because they never developed them. So we end up having no seniors, no expert, because they were never had the opportunity to be like the junior person. Or what if AI technologies are developed and controlled by only a very small number of large corporations, potentially leading to monopolistic practices and increased economic inequality? What if one of those enterprises is the one who has all the access to AI, and only the ones who have that access can benefit from the rest of these technologies, and the rest of us just have to live in the slums? What if that leads to violence and war? What if this happens? Well, this is pretty much the plot of the movie Elysium. So they end up separating, and one of the parts, like the ones we have, who have the technology, end up living like in a space ship of sorts, and the rest of us is like dying here on Earth. How am I doing with your homework? Good. Did anyone have this one? See, I see a couple hands. Come on, you got it. Buckle up. We're about to take it up a little bit further. What if AI ruins our privacy and security? I think you can help me in this one way more than I can help you. Imagine a world where surveillance technologies infringe on privacy rights, or our private information is used against our will. Crazy, I know. Well, that's sort of what happens, like on the series of person of interest. There's a system that conducts mass surveillance, and that happens also in the movie Psychopaths, where this is also not just a movie, like most of the things I'm showing you are part, or even a book, or some of them started as a short story, but I'm just sticking to the movies right now. So in Psychopaths, there's a powerful AI network that monitors and governs society by assessing individuals' psychological states and determining their potential to commit crimes. Their potential to commit crimes. So some of them haven't even committed a crime yet. See where this is going? this dictates law enforcement actions, including arrests and intervention based on perceived threats to societal order. Something similar happens in Minority Report with Tom Cruise. I think most of us have seen that, where humans can be arrested for future crimes. And since the system is so perfect, it can predict a crime and take action before it even happens. So this is why this is a dystopia, obviously, because no system is perfect, and what happens if they're not? Another option is that of the season 3, episode 1 of Black Mirror, called Nosedive, where every interaction, every social engagement and transaction is rated from a scale from 1 to 5 stars. So this is not exactly an AI generating the ratings, because it's humans, but those ratings determine the individual's status, and that determines their access to opportunities and overall quality of life. And this leads to self-censorship and discrimination. Lastly, we need to talk about how AI-driven military applications can cause ethical problems, like in the movie War Games, where a teenager hacks into the government system and initiates the game of global thermonuclear war that the AI interprets as real instead of a just imaginary scenario. And this escalates into triggering a potential actual nuclear war. That's kind of also what happens in Colossus, the forming project, which I know it's a little bit of a dark reference, but please watch that movie. It's very good. It shares the idea of what an AI can do if it's designed to control nuclear weapons. And obviously, it's not designed to cause harm, but that's what ends up happening. So that's what I'm getting to in this talk specifically. That is, most of these systems are not designed to cause harm, but they end up doing it anyways. And that's the future we could end up in. So please be aware of it. Both cases highlight the risks of unintended consequences and the potential for AI to misinterpret or act in a flawed information leading to catastrophic outcomes. Good. Who else had that one? Because this one is definitely one of the ones I'm more scared of. What if we trust algorithms more than we trust humans? What if social trust erodes, leading to widespread paranoia and mistrust? What if humans end up talking to AI that talks to another AI, and then that message is given to another human? So like at the end of the day, no human is actually talking to each other. ChatGPT writing emails, everyone, right? So we end up feeling isolated because we can't actually have that connection. Another option is for us to not have creative disagreements anymore. So we end up like replicating the same ideas over and over, creating infinite echo chambers and no innovation whatsoever. Or what if we reach a situation where AI is so advanced that we end up with problems distinguishing reality from inventions? Think deepfakes, identity, fraud, all that fun stuff. The episode one of season two of Black Mirror revolves around a grieving woman who uses an AI service to communicate with a virtual replica of her deceased boyfriend. And we're not that far from that right now because we have a lot of information on each individual. So the AI gathers data from social media, from emails, from other online interactions, and they simulate this personality and the mannerisms of the boyfriend. And the replication blurs the lines of like what the humans can be. And at the end of the day, like it's a very challenging perception of what constitutes a meaningful relationship. And it affects the way this woman can or cannot grieve because she cannot let go. And she lives in this imaginary state of the boyfriend still being alive, but obviously that's not the boyfriend. So cool. That's just one of the options too. Like the other option that I put here is the movie Total Recall. It has several distinct times being made. Like this is not the only Total Recall that exists out there, but that's the one that I like the best. So this movie shows how humans can implant false memories in their brains. Like for example, in this particular one, Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to have an implant of his vacations on Mars because he doesn't have time to actually go on vacation, but he can just implant the memories and then it's like he went there, right? So this is a future where every aspect of your life can be faked and can be manipulated, including personal interactions and public spaces. One of these, the parts that I like most about the movie and that scares me the most is that every screen that you have is trying to sell you something. And it's trying to sell you something specifically with your data. So it's like, they know I like movies, so they put movies everywhere and they try to manipulate me into buying stuff through that. So at the end of the day, I cannot trust any media or any screen that I can see, because that's what's happening in the background. So who had that one? Oh, good, guys. Let's keep going. Next up, we have like the cultural aspect and what it means to be human. Very easy, right? What if we invent artificial words so compelling that we no longer prefer the real ones? This happened in the movie, like the Matrix as well. Like one character goes out of the Matrix and then wants back in. Like it's like reality is not for him. So he decides, nah, put me back in. Just let me forget everything that happened in the real world. I would rather be in this idyllic connected machine. This is also the case of the Oasis in the movie Ready Player One, which was originally a book. And so we end up like creating all these different characters that represent the parts of us that we like best. So in reality, that doesn't happen, right? In reality, we have all the parts of us that we don't like as well. But other people cannot connect to that. They only connect to the avatar. So we only see the best version of everyone else. And it ends up being actually very lonely. Like what if reduced face-to-face interaction diminished people's ability to develop and maintain empathy or social skills? Any similarity with the post-pandemic era we're living? I think it's a coincidence, right? Like, have you ever seen people with the face that they made when they could shut down the cameras on Zoom? It's like, hey, you're in real life now. You can just put that face on. So that happens in the movies as well. Or what if our relationship with AI systems are more important than the ones we have with other humans? That's what happens in the film Her, which shows a man who becomes emotionally attached to an AI operating system, highlighting the potential for technology to replace human relationship and cause even more isolation. Or what if AI becomes a sort of religion, like worldwide, omnipresent, blindly trusted? I can see that happening, right? Or what if we can upload our minds into a machine, right? Like Ross in Friends. And we become this mix of AI, but also with a conscience, because we sort of had like those real life moments that it's building on. Like that's what happens in the movie Transcendence back there. Or what if the lines between humans and AI become indistinguishable from each other? That's the case of Blade Runner and the Bicentennial Man, those the extreme ones. Or in the case of Ex Machina in Westworld, where we have advancements in robot technology so high that they develop complex emotion. Do they get rights as well? Like we have human rights, but what happens with robot rights or AI rights? What then? Who had that one? Because I think that's one of the most creepy ones, but it's there. Okay, next up, speaking of rights, what if AI interferes with the sense of fairness and accountability? Like why I already mentioned psychopaths, so that's there as well. But we could give AI the responsibility of running the justice system. And we trust them to be unbiased and fair, because that's one of the beliefs that we have about technology, that it's better than humans because it's unbiased. And it, in reality, it's definitely not. So what then? Or in the case that it does make mistakes, what if we fail to identify and correct them? An example of this is episode 4, season 2 of Black Mirror. It's called White Christmas. And here we can see how AI, when programmed with insufficient understanding of human values and fairness, can contribute to the erosion of human rights because they can be exploited and manipulated. What if the legal system cannot adequately address the actions of AI entities once they become indistinguishable from humans? Like, we can see that happening in the movie Ghost in the Shell. So it was also an anime, and it was also like a bunch of things. Watch all of them. But like, who's responsible then in that case? Like, for example, if an automated car crashes into someone and they die, then who is responsible? The person who made the car, the person who was in the car, maybe there was no person in the car, whoever designed, like the programmer or developer, or maybe the company. Like, it's very not clear who should be accountable in that situation, and that's gonna keep happening even more and more. Good. Next up, I think this is one of the biggest ones. I can guarantee this is what most of you wrote during the assignment. What if we humans lose control of the AI? That's a fun experiment, right? One option is that it falls into the wrong hands. So it doesn't, like, we humans don't lose control over it entirely. It's just that the good guys don't have as much control as the bad guys. So for example, think thieves, pranksters, terrorists, all those groups. What then? Or another option is that if we race in terms of the countries, for example, the five big ones that I mentioned, they're in sort of a race, right? They want to get there faster. And so what if we prioritize getting there faster instead of getting there safer? Or what if the efforts to regulate AI come way too late when the damage has already been done? That's the case of most of these situations. Like Westworld, for example, is like the situation where robots decide that they want to have control over us instead of humans controlling robots. Or for example, a Space Odyssey is, we have HAL there thinking that they have a program to run and they have a mission to accomplish. And they're gonna do that because that's the way they were programmed. But at the end of the day, they decide that killing humans is perfectly valid in that mission. Or in the Matrix, like the program decided, hey, to control humans, we actually need to make the reality that they live in as close to reality that they, the original reality. So it has to make mistakes, it has to have good days and bad days. But what if they actually just keep us there, like in some sort of limbo, right? Or I don't have to tell you about Ultron. I think we all know how that ended up. So, but that's the reality we could end up with. Or the Terminator who decides to kill Sarah Connor and all of that fun stuff. Like, what if we actually don't control this technology anymore? And next up is, what if we entrust them, like these AI systems, with tasks that should not be done by machines? For example, in the case of I Am Mother, this machine is raising a child and it's teaching them whatever the program that they have was. So at the end of the day, who can tell that this human doesn't grow up to be something really weird? Because they have no human values anymore. They just have like the what was programmed into this robot. Or what if the AI, what if the worst thing that an AI can do at the end of the day is just disappear? This is the over-reliance of AI situation, where we don't have this intelligence. We no longer innovate because we depend exclusively on this tech. And remember the last time the Wi-Fi wasn't working or the electricity didn't work? How much done did you get done that day? Huh? Think about this. In this situation where we ended up having this system so integrated into our day-to-day jobs that once they're gone, we no longer know how to do our jobs. So I think that's maybe one of the most original ones, but you tell me because you did your homework, right? Good. So as promised, There is more to discover if you're hungry for more. This was just the appetizer. And a quick reminder that this list is not done, is not finished. This taxonomy of what ifs is definitely growing. Every day I see the news and it's like, oh boy, here goes another one. And so I add it to the list, but you can help me with that at the end. I'll tell you how. And now that you're properly scared and anxious like me, what can you do about it, right? Well, I have good news, sort of. Some of the work has already been done for us, thank goodness. For example, Isaac Asimov, which is my favorite author in the world, he thought about this and he came up with three main laws that every robot should follow for us to be safe. However, in those stories, they don't always work the way that are intended. So even in sci-fi, it's not working properly. And the bad news is that this type of work is only fictional. So we need to translate those laws into actual policies, into an actual program, into an actual product. So it's not like just, yeah, sure, command, follow the laws, and that's it. That's not how reality works, but we can go in that direction when we're programming things, when we're creating things, hopefully. So if there's one thing you'll take away from this talk, is this. So this is where you take the picture if you want. Dystopias are cautionary tales. They're warnings of where we could end up with. But they're not predictions. Ultimately, the choice is yours. You choose your own dystopia. The only real mistake is to forget about the risks or to outsource or give up our choices, to ignore the problem or disengage from the conversation. We, and by we, I mean designers, developers, users, scientists, hackers, policymakers, we humans decide how this story actually goes. And by looking at dystopias and considering how could we get there, is this really where we want to go at the end of the day? Only then we can avoid the futures that we don't want and keep imagining the ones that we do. How do you do this? Well, here are some suggestions. First of all, stay curious. So keep learning. This is a developing and changing topic, and it's never done. So just keep asking questions. And keep asking uncomfortable questions. Like, dare to ask, who's making the choices in this situation? Who is responsible? Why is that person responsible? Should it be them or someone else? What are unexpected negative consequences that this technology could have? Or could this be used to harm others, even if that's not the first intent? Are we considering everyone into the equation? And by everyone, I mean, like, I'm a Latino woman, so it's like most of this is never designed with me in mind. And I think most of us can relate to any minority because we have family or we have friends or we have people who we care about and are not the main first user of these technologies. What are the benefits of this technology? And are the benefits bigger than the risks? And are the risks equally distributed? Most of the time, that's not the case. Most of the time, people who suffer the consequences of this technology are not the same ones who designed it. Are there any other safer alternatives? What are the safety mechanisms put in place? Like, all those are uncomfortable questions that you should ask, or if not you, at least someone on your team. And I know it's uncomfortable to ask the question and it's uncomfortable to respond it, but it's better now than when we are in one of those dystopias. Also, be aware of the products that you use. If you see anything shady, report the problem or make sure that other people are aware that this problem exists. That's the case for users, but also you could build safe products, because this is a stage where, and this is a conference where people build things all the time. I'm in constant awe of all the things that you show in this conference. And so I urge you to be part of those designers and developers who consider the ethical consequences of what they're doing and be transparent about them. Test for biases, use standards, keep improving and use feedback, and also just collaborate. That's the best way to make sure that we have all the diversity voices that we need. Also be active, like support research, encourage accountability, create internal policies if there's not something like that in place already, and advocate for the monitor and regulation where whatever is needed. If that's a lot to take in, I know, you can also just help the people who are already doing that job, who are the helpers. Here are only some examples because I couldn't fit all of them in one slide, but by all means research, and you'll find people who locally care about this or who internationally care about this, like all of those stated there. And thanks so much. Thank you for choosing this talk today and for listening. Thanks to Hope for this amazing experience. And a special thanks to Manuel Nader, who encouraged me to be here today. Let's keep in touch. And this is where you can help me, because following that link, you can tell me if I'm missing anything or if you want to add something to the list or if you want to share resources. So this could be a collaborative effort, and it doesn't have to end here. Okay? So that's it. Thank you so much.
If you have questions, just line up at the empty microphone stands.
Pretend.
Clearly say that she'll restate your question for the live stream
right.
Recording.
For people on the live stream, I'll repeat the questions that I get.
What's your take on hacking the whole system or part of the system? For example, is it possible to redirect somehow legal consequences to AI? Let's say I used AI to file taxes, and in the end there is mismatch that's being investigated by IRS. How easy it is to blame AI, and what if such mistake was done genuinely by AI, by unknown software I paid for? Will I go to jail?
Jesus, repeating that is a little bit hard. But I think what I got from your question, you correct me if I'm wrong, is he's asking, what if we could use like the AI as an excuse, right? Like if the AI was designed to run the traditional system, for example, what if we just blame the AI on the bias that they have instead of actually blaming the humans and making them responsible? And will you go to jail? I don't know that. That depends on you. But I think it's definitely the case in many of these situations that people know what these AI systems are doing and they don't care to change for it. Like part of it is just keeping the bias that they want, or they don't realize it's there. And yes?
Yeah, and the second part of the question. What if I use the software, the AI software, by some vendor to file my taxes and do it mismatch because of AI?
Okay, so what if he files his taxes through an AI system and there is a mismatch?
Yeah.
What then? If that's why you won't ask me if you were going to jail because of that. I don't know. I haven't seen any movies that reference that specific scenario, but maybe that's your chance to shine in the movie world. I think.
And the movie's gonna be called Fall Guy AI.
There you go. Well, I think in general, we don't have to blindly trust any system. I don't have to tell you that because you guys know better than me how to hack them. But at the end of the day, it's just a question of how do we put in place mechanisms that allow us to say, hey, I don't think this information is right, or I don't think this system is doing the right thing, and making sure that everyone else is transparent about that. I'm not sure that answered your question, but.
Thank you for your presentation. It seems like this is generally a way to look at fiction as a way to think about and to prepare for a disruptive technology. Is there other technologies that this helped for, or is it just solely fear-mongering, or what are we talking about?
I love your question. I'm going to try and repeat it, not as eloquently, but he said like this, the presentation I gave is just a way to look at cautionary tales, like a way to look at movies as cautionary tales. So at the end of the day, you can use it for other technologies as well. I do believe that. Like, I only selected the ones that I thought had AI on them, and AI is used here in a very broad term, but you could use it for anything. Like, sci-fi is wonderful because it's the most interesting question that someone had, and like the what if scenarios are endless. You can research about this, and like, that's my dream. If you go out of this theater thinking that you can watch sci-fi movies or read books or video games in a different way, like in a way that can maybe warn you about the possible endings of this type of technology and many others. So yes, please use this for any other topic that you like.
While we've had technology, we've long had problems with reliance on technology, and over-reliance by people. AI will obviously change that dramatically. How do you see those preventing significant over-reliance on AI?
Okay, so the question is, for as long as there has been technology, we've over-relied on it, and AI is not no different, right? How do we fix that? It's a question.
Oh. Step this up into an AI.
Okay.
Much more complex and capable.
Right. So the question is, what other problems do I see in overlying specifically on AI? Well, as the example I gave, just try to live one day without your Wi-Fi, without any connection or without any AI. That's going to be harder and harder. Like, for example, today, if you want to travel anywhere, you just use your phone for everything. Or if you want to connect to anyone, if you want to pay for something, your phone is always there. So I think the AI is just going to take it way more in that direction of over-reliance, unless we put in place things to prevent it. Just like the use of cell phones has become like a problem right now, but there are ways users can prevent that. For example, having your phone on just black and white, or not downloading all the apps that you know it's gonna make you like wanna check it every 2 seconds. So I think we need to think about those technologies and how we approach those and try to use the same tools in AI. Like, be aware that like ChatGPT is gonna eventually maybe not work the way you want it to. So what would you do then? Like, just run that exercise in your mind, and maybe one day you'll figure it out and tell us. Thank you. No more questions? Good. Thank you so much. I hope to see you in the rest of the conference.